Now on Money News, Roger Montgomery, talking trade. Thanks to Key Equities for all your stockbroking needs.
And Roger Montgomery joins me in the studio as he does every Tuesday night, and this time for the final time for 2013.
And I'm looking forward to coming back in early 2014.
Is it a year that you are pleased is behind you, Roger?
I think the first part of the year was absolutely extraordinary. The difficulty in the second half of the year has been that, believe it or not, the worst performing style of investing has been quality. So the quality companies haven't done very well, and the poorer quality, the lower quality companies have actually done well. Those that are exposed to cyclical industries, for example, building and manufacturing and those sorts of businesses, they've gone well, but they're not the sorts of businesses that we ever want to own because we don't think they're very high quality.
I know. Can I tell you some stats about our stock market?
Please.
Can I tell you that our stock market, the top 200 companies on our stock market, which is pretty much all of them, are worth around $1.4 trillion
today. Right, right.
Can I tell you that the one-year return for our stock market, not including dividends, is 19.5%. And the year-to-date return is 17%. Can I also tell you something that I think a lot of people might be surprised by?
What's that?
The price-earnings ratio.
Yes.
Now, people might know that this is a way you can judge any stock against another stock. That is the price of the company versus
its
the
earnings.
Profit that it makes.
Yes.
And you always look at future earnings as distinct from past earnings because that's a better guide as to what the company might do in the future.
What is the price earnings ratio? Because we don't not to look at it.
Okay. The average price earnings ratio of the top 200 stocks is 21.
It's very high.
It's very high.
Anything over 20. And let me say this. If you're paying, that means that on average, you're waiting 21 years to be paid back for your purchase of the shares of the company based on its current earnings.
It's so true.
Assuming it'll stay flat, which it won't. But here's the thing. There are businesses, you talked about the market capitalization of the whole market. Here's the interesting thing. You look at companies like Qantas or Virgin, and what you will find, particularly Qantas, what you will find is that the market capitalization or the market value of that business is less than all the money that's been tipped into it by shareholders.
Oh, yeah.
And in the context of what's going on with Holden and Ford and car manufacturing in Australia, it's interesting that people have been pumping money into these businesses and they've been blowing it up, basically.
Or governments, yes.
Yeah, or governments.
And you don't run a business to make a loss.
Of course. Well, you can't continue unless it's owned by the government and that's the government's intention.
And you don't run a business to make a substandard return if you could make a better return somewhere else.
They're called sheltered workshops, not businesses. You know, they're designed to provide jobs for people. They're not there to provide a profit.
What is the answer for Qantas right now?
Okay, well, look, sadly for Australia, this is the result of poor planning over many years. So this isn't the result of the current government or the government before that. We're talking decades of poor forward planning that's caused us to be as a nation where we are today.
By the government or by the airline?
By the government. And let me say this. What the government hasn't done is it hasn't provided the necessary conditions for multiple businesses to emerge and grow to employ the people. So the government finds itself in a position where it's forced to support businesses that are sub-economic to keep people in jobs.
So in other words, you're saying if we had the conditions whereby four airlines had been able to prosper in Australia in the right conditions.
Or not even airlines. It might not have been airlines. It could have been an IT, but it could have been Apple. It could have been Google. It could have been something else that we were good at that employed thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. And if we were good at that and we supported that, then we wouldn't be so concerned about car manufacturing and airlines in Australia because of the job losses that are going to ensue.
The one thing is that there has been a massive public debate about the future of Qantas and the future of Holden, which is a good public debate for people to have.
Sure.
How should their taxpayers' money be directed? Do you think at some stage that Australians have got to become more mature and pragmatic about these companies and simply say, you've got to let the market rule?
Well, that's a capitalist attitude, and we've had this conversation before. You've often been surprised that I'm right in the middle. You know, I'm not capitalist, I'm not socialist. I'm trying to be in the middle.
And you're my people listening. It's anyway, yes.
Anyway, that's a capitalist attitude. I think I'll be very quick about this. I think that in the case of Qantas, we need to ask ourselves, do we care whether or not we have a national airline?
Very good point.
That's the question.
Because I think maybe we've got to...
Do we care? Yeah. Because we're competing against airlines that are owned by other governments. Singapore Airlines, Emirates, Etihad. You know, they're owned by governments and royal families that get their fuel for free.
But isn't it not technically, being really boil it back down, is it not basically a kangaroo painted on the tail of the aircraft?
Well,
it is.
Well, yes, it is.
It wouldn't matter if it was a koala painted on the back of the aircraft.
Well, I don't mind losing...
You know what I mean, don't you?
I don't mind losing national icons if we're actually good at something. But what are we good at? We're losing our competitiveness, Ross. We're losing out to... We'll ultimately become serfs working for foreign landlords where we rent their land
profits
go back to their grandkids.
So let's say, for example, Qantas can't compete.
Correct.
And so we lose Qantas and another airline comes in. It's called Koala Airlines.
Yes.
And it's got a koala on the back.
Yes.
And it's capitalised differently and it's set up differently, all that type of thing.
We want to own the profitable business. I don't care if we don't own unprofitable businesses, but we want to own the profitable businesses because then the profits stay here, we employ more people and we can reinvest.
It's a terrific thing. I'll tell you what, we are now going to take a break and come back with more of Money News. You got something to add to our debate? Jump online, 131-873. Well, I don't have much time, but I have got Roger Montgomery here, and I've got a couple of callers on the board. George is in Rose Bay. Hello, George.
Hi.
Thanks for the call.
Ross, some thoughts from left field.
Yep.
The cost of buying the remnants of the Australian motor industry when the government decides not to support it.
Yep.
Will be less than what the government may consider subsidising the motor industry for. It's poured in about $1.8 billion to date, and that's over a 10-year period up to 2012. If the motor industry closes down, the value of the existing facilities is close to zero.
Yes.
The Australian motor industry is not owned by Australia. Let me now take you to some other areas. The future of the car industry probably lies in robots, where the motor vehicle is driven by itself rather than by the people sitting in it. And the vehicles that we'll sell will be those that offer the people sitting in the vehicle doing their trip automatically what to do. Social network obviously springs to mind, but the whole of the area of the cocoon of the motor vehicle becomes a technology opportunity for the future. Can Australia do that? Possibly.
It's a very good one. I'm telling you what, I've got to leave it there, George, because I'm very short of time. I've got Roger with me. But George is thinking the right way.
They're great points. It's just important not to look at everything through the telescope or microscope of financials, right? So we've got to be careful we're not judging everything
on
financials.
But George is actually dreaming. And where he goes to is where many of the big car companies are also going to.
Mm.
Roger, I have to get cracking now. And
yes.
I apologise to John in Mortdale as well. I can't get to him.
Sorry, John.
He wanted to know how much company debt is too much.
Oh, look, anything that it can't afford to pay if things go bad.
Generally, that's the
less is more when it comes to debt. We prefer none.
Okay, if I was looking in the next 12 months for stocks, what would you be thinking of? What sort of themes would you be thinking about?
I'd be thinking healthcare and I'd be thinking retail, but I would be waiting for a pullback. It's expensive at the moment.
Cyclicals that are going to actually ride now as compared with those that were interest rate sensitive would be my two bobs worth, Roger.
Okay, very good.
There you go, between the two of us. We'll try and work it out for you next year right here on Money News. Of course, Roger Montgomery, our regular here on Tuesday night, giving you all the latest stock tips. And that is the program for tonight. Thanks for your company. Steve Price and Andrew Bolter up next, and we'll see you tomorrow night right here on Money News.